Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Congressman Joe Cempulinski. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Congressman, let's start with what seems to be the biggest story out of Washington this week, and it started in the House, and that was the vote to avert the rail strike. What was that vote on, and what possibly could have happened if this didn't pass?
Yeah, if we had had a rail strike, it would have been catastrophic for the American economy. The estimates that I was presented with was a $2 billion economic loss per day. And obviously this would not only have driven prices up for everyday consumers, but it would have jeopardized other jobs farther down the supply chain. The Monday of that week, so a week ago tomorrow, I was, just to use one example in my district, I was touring the Nestle Purina plant in Dunkirk, and that's about 800 workers, and all of, or nearly all of their input into the dog food process there is delivered by rail. So you're talking about people down the line being jeopardized. That's just one plant. That's just one example. And of course, you're doing things all across the country. So we had a couple votes, and basically the role of Congress was, hey, union, hey, railroads, you all can keep negotiating if you want, but we're going to tell you if you can't reach a settlement by the 9th of December, which was the stop date, we're going to impose the agreement that was negotiated between the railroads and the union leadership, and we're not going to allow a strike to occur. Now, that still let them negotiate, so let them, if they could come to some different agreement than ours, they can certainly do so. But we put a backstop in place to protect the American worker and protect the American economy and the American consumer.
Now, Congressman, this was a bipartisan vote. You voted along with many other Republicans, but there were some Republicans that voted against this. Do you know what their, I know it's difficult to ask someone who voted for it what the reasoning for some who voted against it, but do you know why some on there, and some Democrats also voted against this bill?
Yeah, this was an unusual piece of action from Congress in the sense that it sort of scrambled some of the usual left-right divisions. You had a good number of Republicans vote with it. You had a good number of Republicans vote against it. You had concerns from different parts of the Democratic Party. And so it wasn't its usual, oh, Republicans line up one way and Democrats line up another. So you had Republicans that were concerned about, you know, whether Congress should be involved at all. You had Republicans that were concerned about what would happen with the strike. You had Democrats that were concerned about making sure the union got everything that the union wanted, even though they were already getting a 24% pay increase. And then you had Democrats that were following the lead of the president, who had
ask them to intervene. So it was a really unusual situation, and we had a very robust discussion. We happened to have a conference that morning once a week when the House is in session. All the Republicans get together behind closed doors and just have an open discussion about what's going to happen that week. Conveniently, that meeting happened to be the morning of this vote. And so we were able to, you know, talk it out, and I was able to hear a lot of different perspectives from a lot of different Republican members before this vote. But at the end of the day, for me, I felt I had a duty to protect the American economy and protect all the workers that rely on the rail delivering what they need to work, to protect the consumers of our district. And this was a situation where the union had gotten a really, really good deal, and they were holding out for even more. And I felt that was very concerning. So I voted to protect protect the people of my district.
Now on to a vote that happened to something else, and I don't want to ask specifics, but we did have Congressman Chris Jacobs earlier in the week on the station talking about assault weapons. And, you know, this comes up, it seems, every month. We hear about this in the news. From where you're sitting in Congress, is there some type of legislation you could see when it comes to assault weapons, when it comes to guns, that could get bipartisan support?
I think that'd be very difficult. I know Chris has taken a very strong position on that issue. It's a place where Chris and I have some disagreements. And, you know, and I like Chris, and we work together on a lot of things. But we have he's in favor of an assault weapons ban. I am not in favor of an assault weapons ban. The reason it becomes so difficult is, you know, the first thing we do as members of Congress is we take an oath to uphold the Constitution. And in my personal opinion, the Second Amendment is a very important part of protecting that Constitution. Taking rights away from people who did nothing wrong is not the solution to gun violence. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't be working on a solution, but I would prefer solutions that get at the motivations of people who commit murder, regardless of the method they use, as opposed to taking away the liberties and security of those who've done nothing wrong and happen to own a similar implement to one that was used in a horrific crime. So, you know, some respectful disagreement between myself and Mr. Jacobs on the way forward on this issue. And we will see. We'll see what comes up in the House. The Democrats will control the agenda for the remaining time of this Congress until noon on January 3rd, and we'll see what they bring up. But I would hope they would want to reach across the aisle and find some real solutions that get at the underlying motivations and deal with the problem as opposed to dealing with the symptoms.
Speaking of the House, you know, we're hearing about the leadership votes that are going on in Congress for the next term, as you said, starts January 3rd. And there's a lot of questions on the right. Will Kevin McCarthy be the next Speaker of the House? What's your feeling about a month out from the next term? Do you think Kevin McCarthy will have the votes in Congress to be the Speaker of the House?
I've been in a very unusual position for this, because the way it works is these are, you know, closed door meetings. There's no press there when we elect leadership. But as a sitting member of Congress, I'm allowed in the room. But as a member of Congress who is not going to be a member of the 118th Congress, which convenes on January 3rd, I don't have a vote. So I'm able to be sort of this fly on the wall and watch as things develop, which has been just sort of interesting as somebody who, of course, has a great interest in the future of the country. And so for the speaker, just for the listeners, the speaker is very different than other leadership. We've elected our whip. We've elected our leader, which is the third and the second positions. There's other leadership positions, and those are party positions. Whoever gets the most votes in the party becomes that title. Speaker is not a party position. Speaker is a constitutional position, and so you need a majority of the House. So at this point, Mr. McCarthy, his title is Speaker Designate, which basically means he is the Republican nominee for Speaker, but he's going to need to get a majority on the floor on January 3rd. Democrats certainly aren't going to vote for him, so he can only afford to lose 4 breakaway Republicans voting against him. That means he's got a very slim margin for error. I would say, Mr. McCarthy's certainly the front runner because he is the Republican nominee, but he's going to have to find a way to bring on board enough people so that he doesn't lose 4 votes. And remember, he could lose 4 votes to the right. He could lose 4 votes to the center. And if he gets to that 5th vote that he loses, there would be some sort of impasse. They would have to vote again. And they just keep voting until someone gets a majority of the votes cast. So if there is some situation where 5 Republicans, for whatever reason, won't vote for Kevin on the first ballot, it may go on for a while. But it will keep going until somebody gets a majority of the votes. And I could imagine a scenario where maybe Kevin doesn't get it the first ballot or the second ballot, but it becomes clear nobody else can get a majority, and then maybe he gets it. There's a lot of different ways this could play out. It'll be very interesting. So I get to observe. I get to be in the room where it happens, but I don't have a say in how it happens, which is a very interesting position to be in.
I'll tell you, C-SPAN, I think, would really like to see that go past 1 vote. A lot of people would be tuning in.
That would drive their ratings way up, I would say.
Yeah, Washington Journal would break some records.
Yes, sir.
Moving on to Twitter, and this is a question I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask Congressman Higgins the exact same question. Obviously, Elon Musk buying Twitter, we've heard, a lot of back and forth in the media, in Washington. But on Friday, he retweeted something called the Twitter Files, and it makes these accusations about Twitter censoring certain things to help, seemingly to help Joe Biden, who at the time was a Democrat candidate. Given that we saw for 4 years in Congress committees to focus on alleged Russian collusion, do you think this should be investigated in Washington, D.C. by Congress and Senate?
Absolutely, it should be investigated. You're talking about an extremely important piece of information. The activities that the president's son were engaging in, they didn't just involve him. There's concern that the president was getting kickbacks or that he was trafficking in access to his father. Those are legitimate concerns, especially if they occurred while Mr. Biden was vice president of the United States. So I'm always in favor of radical transparency. And the way we get that, and I applaud Mr. Musk, who has engaged in that transparency here over the last couple days, revealing what has been going on behind the scenes at Twitter and the interactions that are happening between Twitter executives and Democratic operatives. We need to have transparency. I hope there is a thorough investigation by the Republican House majority to find out what was going on. And it is concerning that you have this major piece of information that the voters were prevented, many of them, from having access to intentionally leading up to an election. So they're acting on incomplete information. That's certainly manipulation of the electorate. And it's not healthy for democracy. So in short answer to your question, yes. My answer is yes, there should be a very thorough investigation of this.
Congressman, my final question, and I think I've asked you this every time we've talked, your time in Congress now, do you think you might make a return in years to come?
Well, I have learned one thing over the last couple of years, that you never know what is going to happen. For the next foreseeable period of time, Mr. Langworthy is going to be representing about 60% of the people that I currently represent. 3 of the counties will go with Congresswoman Tenney. 2 of the counties will go with Congressman-elect Molinaro. So I have to do 3 transitions. The most substantial transition is between myself and Nick. I am doing everything I can do to make sure that Nick is successful and to make sure that he has everything he needs to do a good job representing the new version of the 23rd. I voted for Nick in the November election. He will be my congressman, and I hope he is as successful as possible for the people. So it would have to be something where there was an open seat. I'm not in the business of primarying fellow Republicans. I'm a team player. That's not how I do business. I don't go after other Republicans. But if there were opportunities for an open seat in Congress or in the state legislature, I would certainly take a very strong look at that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in 24 or 26 or whatever down the road. I'm only 39 years old, which, if I was a NFL player, I'd be old. But for a politician, I'm a baby. So we have plenty of time.
Sounds good, Congressman Joe Cembilinski. Well, we hope, even when you're out of Congress, that we can still turn to you for analysis on things going on in politics.
Most certainly. I'm still going to be engaged. I'm still a party official. I'm the county Republican chairman of my county. I have a state party role, and I intend to be still active in public service. So I'm not going anywhere as far as that's concerned.
Sounds good. Well, I hope you have a great holiday season, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.